I had planned on this morning starting to talk a little bit about the financial part of it, but we're still not quite there yet. With what we're doing, we're having to make sure that everything is exactly legal so that we don't get in trouble with the IRS, okay? It's a little different concept with what we're doing. It can be done. It's already being done, as I showed you last week, but we're just making sure that everything is correct before we say to you all, here's how we're going to do this, okay? So, but this is a part that I wanted to talk about anyway, and that is bearing fruit. And so as we talk about nexus literally means a place of connection. Some definitions call it the center of connection, which totally works with what we're trying to do. And so we want to talk this morning about bearing fruit. Now, I feel a little bit like Solomon did back in 1 Kings chapter 3. You don't have to turn there this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 15 here in just a couple of minutes. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, that's on page 924, okay? John chapter 15, that's where we're going to be in just a few minutes. Page 924. But I wanted to read to you out of 1 Kings chapter 3, because this is kind of one of those things that slips underneath the radar. We know as we've read and as we've studied history, Solomon's one of the richest and certainly the wisest king that ever lived. And kings from all over the world would come to him for advice and counsel. But in 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 7, this is in the middle of God coming to Solomon and asks him, you know, what do you want? You know, what would you like to have, Solomon? If you could have anything on the planet, what would you like to have? And listen to Solomon's response here. He says, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father, David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous that they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" And you know what I love about that is verse 7, where Solomon says, "Now, Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't even know his way around." And as we approach this vision, and as the vision started becoming more of a reality, more than it was just kind of a dream, that yes, we're going to unveil this to the church, and we really believe this is the direction to go. When I read that verse, I was sitting down in Miami doing Kareem and Wendy's wedding. And as I was sitting there, I was like, man, that's where I'm at. You know, I just feel like this huge task is in front of me. And if you remember being a little child, and some task that your parents felt like you could do, but you were just, I don't think so. I don't think I should try this. This is much too big for me. And as much as they'd say, oh, you're a big boy now, you're a big girl now, you wanted to believe that, but at the same time, it was, I don't think I want to try this. And I understand what Solomon's talking about here, that, wow, that's the way I felt in coming to this and saying, okay, church, this is what I feel like is the next step. Now, I will also tell you this. One of the great things that's happened, the fruit of Gateway, if you will, we've got some young couples here, and young couples have brought us babies, which is wonderful, okay? When we first started Gateway, we were like, you know, eventually we may be the only couple. Sherry and I may be the only couple with a kiddo, you know, running around here. Now that we've just had this explosion, and which is a great thing, and it's like all boys and one girl. You know, and so the girl's going to feel real special here in a couple years when she figures all this out, if no other girls show up. But let me give you the names, okay? Let me give you the names of the boys, and you tell me, okay? If you've been around Christianity at all, or you've kind of heard some names around Christianity or the Old Testament, you tell me what we're in for, okay? Now this is extremely young kids. How old is Nathaniel? Year and a half, okay? So this is a year and a half down. All right, are you ready? We have Nathaniel, Elias, Elijah, Josiah, and guess who came last week? Moses, okay? And Moses is back with us this week. So I wrote our lead church sponsor, and I said, "Dear Pastor, I am very nervous. I feel like these children will be able to call fire down from heaven by age 5. Do you have any suggestions?" I haven't gotten a response back on that. I think he knew, man, you're in big trouble. I have nothing for you with that. And so what I would tell you is this, a lot of those names are biblical or certainly have biblical derivatives. And so I'm not really sure what I would suggest to you if you start helping us keep the kids back there. Right now, they're cute little babies. Maybe by age 5, you may want to volunteer somewhere else, okay? I'm not quite sure what will happen there, but this is a great thing. And it's part of the whole bearing fruit, you know, thing. And the fact of that, when we started Gateway, we were like, well, and the kids show up downtown. I don't see it happening. Do we really want to do something? And I will tell you, within Nexus, those conference rooms that you could see up there, that's going to double, actually triple, for our growth groups to be able to use throughout the week, as well as community things, but also on Sunday mornings. That will be where we kind of split up our kiddos, and they'll have screens in there where those that are trying to keep the kids, if they can hear or see the screen, I don't know if they will or not, but we'll have that there for them so that they can still feel a part of the service, all right? So we've already thought about that. We've already planned for that, and so then when the next boy showed up, we were like, hey, this just confirms what we knew. We've got to have some space for them. We don't want to be the church today. Once you have a kid, you need to leave. That would not be good. And so next week, what we're hoping to be able to do is we're going to try to run a closed circuit TV feed from here over to the cabaret, and our kiddos would be over there, okay? So listen in the announcement time about how you can help us with that. When I was a little kid, one of the things that I enjoyed doing was picking strawberries. And probably the reason why I like picking strawberries is because you could eat the strawberries. And so out in our backyard, we had this really big backyard. Way at the back, my dad always had a garden. And so when I was a little kid, probably 5, 6 years old, come home from either kindergarten or first grade, first thing I would do is head out to the backyard. And I would go out there and Dad would say to me, hey, would you go pick us some strawberries? And so I would go out there and pick some strawberries. But what I did was is I would pick the strawberries, but I would eat the strawberries, and then the ones that weren't quite red, you know, they still had a little bit of greenish tint to them. I knew those were a little bit more tart than what I liked at the time, so I would pick those, put them in a bucket, and bring them back, and my dad would always say, no red strawberries today? Nope. No red strawberries, Dad. Well, then we moved to Arkansas, and Dad again planted a garden and put strawberries out, and same thing, man, same routine. I'd go out there, and he'd say, yeah, no red strawberries today? No. Just kind of greenish, a little bit of red on there, but, you know, that's what I do. And one day I noticed in the garden that there was a different strawberry-looking plant, but, you know, it still looked like it had a strawberry and stuff on it. And so I did what every kid did, and that is you put everything in your mouth, right? Okay, that's what you do. And so I took that thing and, one bite, man. It was like fuzzy and stuff. And I don't know about you, but I don't like fuzzy in my mouth. That's just not palatable. So spit it out. Ugh, you know, didn't know what it was. A couple weeks later, I noticed another one of them. I was like, as a kid, you know, you got to give it a second chance, you know, because what if that one was just the bad one, right? And so I go and blah, fuzzy, blah, you know, not good. Threw it away. And so the next year, all of a sudden, I have a bunch more of these, and what I found out was is that they were wild strawberries, and they were taking over my regular strawberries, and it wasn't long until all of my regular strawberries were gone, and all I was left with wild strawberries. Now, I did a Google search on wild strawberries, and there's some people out there that really like these things, and I was like going, people like fuzzy stuff in their mouth, but they must, and they were like, oh, wild strawberries are so great. I was like, well, not the ones I had, and I'm not trying it again because I'm an adult now, and I've learned after 2 times, man, that's it. You know, I'm not trying it again. It's like fruitcake, you know. I've had fruitcake once or twice, and I'm like convinced that it never tastes good, and people always say, here, try mine. I'm like, no, this is a big joke. I'm not trying your fruitcake. So don't come to me and say, I've got a great fruitcake recipe. You'll love it, because I'm not eating it. John chapter 15, and I don't care if your grandmother made it and said it was great either. People have tried that. That's why I say that. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way as I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. And as we talk about Nexus and bearing fruit and what that means, what we all need to understand is this. Nexus is not the final destination point. It is a mission of the church, not the mission of the church. Because there's a lot of other things that God's going to call us to, but we really believe that's the central hub of which it will all go out from. So just like when we meet in Hilarities, my prayer has always been, and our leadership team's always, their prayer has always been, that it wouldn't just be this nice little meeting space that we meet on Sunday and that's pretty much it, and it has no impact Monday through Saturday. Because I can quite honestly tell you, I can refer you to a lot of churches that just want to do a great Sunday thing and then go home. And I want you to know, we should be able to do both. We ought to have a great Sunday time together when we worship God and we encourage one another. But at the same time, what happens Monday through Saturday is vitally important, and Jesus said so. He said, hey, if you remain in me, guess what will happen? You won't just bear a little bit of fruit. What did he say? You'll bear much fruit, much fruit. That's why we've always talked about we want to lead people to love God, live in community, and serve the city. Nexus is that hub of which all of that will emanate from and go from. That's not the end game, okay? Don't think, well, once we raise the money and we get in there, man, we can kick back and relax and enjoy one another. No. That's not a final destination point, okay? It's not a final destination point. That is a launching pad, okay? That is a launching pad from which ministry will go out from. It's a launching pad from which people will come back to. So when I look at what Nexus will be, I don't look at it as, okay, once we get that space and we'll have done everything God wants us to do. No, that's the launching pad, okay? That's where we start from, okay? Now, some of it we've already started in here, but what I'm saying is I don't want us looking at that as being, oh, once we arrive there, we've done all that God has called us to do. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. When I look at influence, and this is what Jesus is really talking about, you know, when he says, hey, when you remain in me and my Father's words are within you, then here's what you need to know. You can ask anything in my name and I will do it. And I don't know about you, but that's a pretty intimidating thing because it's like, hey, Jesus is saying a big statement here and I have a tendency to take him quite literally. And when he says to us, when you have the right heart before God, you can ask for anything in Jesus' name and it will be done. Now, if you know anything about asking for something in somebody's name, you don't take that lightly. For instance, I could have your checkbook in my hand, but if my signature does not match up with yours, there's going to be a problem, right? Because what am I doing? I'm asking for something in your name. And your bank's going to call and say, hey, did you write this check for $10,000 to Alex Ennis? And going to say, well, no, I wouldn't even give him 10 bucks. You know, I know that guy. You know, I think he's a shyster or something, and this proves it, right? And then they're going to say, well, he's trying to cash this, and he tried to forge your name. And then you're going to look at the bank and say, not in my name. I did not authorize this. And that's what Jesus is saying. When you remain in him, when you are a part of who he is, you can ask for those type of kingdom things. And so as we look around and as I've studied, what I've learned is this, that God has placed about four different kind of areas in which we can have influence in our lives. First one is prominence, you know, those people with fame or those people with fortune. Those people have a lot of influence, don't they? You know, that what they say can affect and change the course of history. It can change the course of what Cleveland decides to do. Those people who are prominent can say, you know, I'm going to invest $1 billion in downtown. Whoa. Okay, that person's going to have a lot of influence, right? And when they come through on that, it's a big deal. A lot of people are going to listen to them. Second type of person is in politics. We all know this. Politics can shape for better and a lot of times for worse, it seems like, doesn't it? You know? And so when it comes to politics, it's not just those who have a lot of money and have a lot of fame, but even a person who maybe didn't have a whole lot of money, who didn't have a whole lot of fame, but worked it right in the political realm, and guess what? Suddenly they have a lot of influence. Their fruit can either be good or it can be bad. The third type of person or even a place or even a company is being unique. Okay, setting yourself apart from anybody else. You don't have to have fame to be unique. You don't have to have any of that stuff. As a matter of fact, when a lot of these things can't come out, for instance, eBay is a perfect example. There wasn't prominence there. There wasn't a political thing, and that's probably good. All of a sudden, it was unique, and the uniqueness caught on. iPod, the same way. There wasn't the prominence. Okay, now we kind of knew of Apple and all this other stuff, but if you know something, if they put out a bad product, nobody's going to go for it. It doesn't matter whose product name is on it. And all of a sudden, the iPod catches on. It's like the standard now, you know? And you know something? That was unique. I know that when Sherry and I were in Miami a few weeks ago, and as we were sitting out there by the pool with Josiah, young Josiah sitting there, I guess he would have been about 4 months, 5 months at that time. And as we had him out there, we had little sunglasses on him, and we had him all with his sunscreen on. He's sitting by the pool. I wrote in my journal, because I watched it happen, okay? All these people around the pool who were there on vacation, we even met some people from Elyria, of all places, okay? We're sitting there by the pool. They were all coming over taking pictures of Josiah. Why? Because he was the best baby they'd ever seen? Not necessarily. I thought so. But not necessarily. Oh, you even have this. This is really good. Nice timing. I didn't even give him that to do this morning. You pulled it up. It's all Dylan. You're fast. This is him sitting by the pool, and he's got the shades on and everything else. And I mean, you know, come on now. That's adorable. It doesn't matter whose kid that is, all right? That's adorable. Guess who the most powerful and most influential person by the pool was that day? This guy. And I wrote it down in my journal entry. The most powerful, most influential person at the pool today was Josiah. A baby had taken over. And you know something? Being unique, being different, standing out, sometimes can get you a lot of influence. The last part, the fourth type of person, if you will, is the role of a servant. And it's what Jesus has called us to as those who follow after him. And that's why we talk about being in service. Because here's what you can know. When you watch the prominent people and you watch the politicians, let's just say it's at the White House, and you see the pictures, who's always in the background? Who's always around? The chef, the servants. Guess who knows the president of the United States? The chef. The servants, they've got a little bit of influence. Maybe some of them not as much as others, but the chef certainly does. The chef does. Probably for the rest of his or her life, has that connection and that strong bond with the president that could call up and say, hey, Mr. President, I want to prepare you something. I've got some friends that I'd like for you to meet too. And more than likely, the president's going to say, okay, how? Were they prominent? No. little bit unique maybe, but ultimately they were a servant. That's ultimately who they were. And as we have tried to serve the city and connect with the city, what we found out is this. We've gained our influence throughout the city through service. Okay? I would love to say that some of you in here are real prominent, but you're not. I know you're like, what? You're not, okay? Never used your name to get in anywhere, and you're thinking, yes, you have. No, I haven't. I really have not, okay? I never have. But you know something? We have started gaining influence within the city. I want to show you some pictures of this last week of what we did through Westside Ecumenical Ministry through the Fun Fest there. So I asked Steve Hart to come up with something really quick this week, and I haven't even gotten to see it yet. So anyway, so let's just kind of watch some of the servant-oriented things that we did this last week. Excellent. One of the things in the pictures, if you wondered, why do we have this tight shot of, like, it looks like a tray in the back of the funnel cake fire? It's because the funnel cake fire caught on fire, which was a very alarming experience considering it was a gas leak fire. But the quick-thinking Dylan Hamilton, which has never been in any sentence that I've ever used, the quick-thinking Dylan Hamilton, but it is now, unless I said he is not the quick thinking Dylan Hamilton, but nonetheless, the quick thinking, I had to do that, Dylan Hamilton, when people would always ask me, why do we have this fire extinguisher? Why did we have to spend $250 on this one that puts out a certain kind of fire? We found out we needed that fire extinguisher, and so Dylan pulled the pin and squirted like maybe a half an ounce of this massive can, and it went out. Now that we've got to recharge an entire can for a half ounce use, but that's not Dylan's fault. He put out the fire. And we found out we did have a gas leak. We were able to get it repaired and get operational and stuff like that. But let me share with you what we did. 700 hot dogs given away. If we would have been able to find more hot dogs at any other store within a five-mile radius, we would have given more away, but we ran out twice. 800 snow cones, 5,000-plus pieces of candy. We have no idea how much cotton candy and how many funnel cakes, because we couldn't keep up with the demand. And so it was a great time. Here's the other cool part about it. Because of what we did, Westside Ecumenical, 25% of their funding comes through federal funds. They have to have a certain amount of volunteerism that comes in and donations and things like that. Because of what we did, that represented over $10,000 in kind of donations. So what we did wasn't just a one-night event, but it's a long-term effect. It's a long-term effect with what we do, and that's what we wanted to do from the very beginning. We love to do kind of some short-term things, but we would really like to see some long-term things come out of it. And so that's one of the results of what we did on that evening. And so your GPS for this morning, your good practical stuff, as I call it, is this. We serve not to convert, we serve because we have been converted. And I want you to really let that sink in. But we serve not to convert, okay? There's not an ulterior motive, but there's an ultimate motive, all right? But we do serve because we have been converted. And when we go and we share the love of Christ, and when Jesus kept saying over and over and over in this passage that we just read just a few minutes ago, hey, love one another. If you didn't get it, let me remind you again, love one another. If you didn't get it again, let me tell you my new commandment, love one another. Because a lot of times we're like, now what did he say? And he kept repeating it. Guess what, guys? It all comes back to loving one another. And if you missed it the first time, love one another. And if you need a command, because some of you always need a command, love one another. And you know something? That's exactly what we did in that community. Last year, we did two of those, and we averaged about 125 people. This year, there had to have been 700 people there. It was way bigger than what we could handle, but we got it done. Even with the funnel cake fire catching on fire, people that gave us a generator with no electrical cords, hello. Never give out a generator with no electrical cords. We got way behind on everything, but you know something? We pulled it off. I mean, God was able to move in through us and figure out ways to getting some things done, and I appreciate all of your time. Those of you, when you give to Gateway, these are the types of things that it goes for, okay? And that's what we want to do more and more of. what Nexus does for us is it gives us the ability to do more and more and more and more of those things. Okay? Bearing fruit. One of the things that has meant a lot to me as we've served the city is we got to plant some flowers and trees over there on West 9th, and the trees that we planted were cherry trees. And so when the springtime came around this year, I was all excited. Man, the blossom looked wonderful. And I was like, well, you know, it may not really produce any fruit or anything, but the blossoms looked incredible. Now, I was there when we first spotted those places to put some things in, and I had contacted Downtown Cleveland Alliance and said, hey, do we need to ask the city for permission to plant these here? And they said, really, what you need to do is just plant them and ask for permission later, because if you ask the city, it'll take a year and a half. And so we're like, okay. So I went down there, and I noticed one of them was pretty much ready to go. One of these little, you know, 4x4 areas was ready to go. And the other one, you could tell they just chopped off the tree and left it. And I was like, okay, well, we'll just get this out. Me and three other guys with an axe is all that we had and some shovels. 4 hours later, finally get this massive stump out of there. And I'm like, oh, I'm thankful this thing's out. So we planted the trees and everything, beautiful blossoms. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I started noticing, hey, man, we got some cherries on the cherry trees in downtown Cleveland, man. We got some cherries, you know. So I was all excited, but then I was afraid, like, the birds would get them or, you know, they would rot off there or they would be bad or whatever else. And so this morning I went by there, and I picked all these cherries that you see inside of here, and I washed them off. They're the most organically grown cherry in downtown Cleveland because they have no pesticides, all right? I washed them off and everything. Now, they've got seed, you know, they've got a seed on the inside. They're the way I kind of like a cherry, which is not the way most people like a cherry. I like mine a little bit tart. That's the reason why I'm always scrambling for the sweet tarts. If there's like a parade, you know, I'm the guy pushing you over to get to those. But I washed them off this morning. I usually just pick them straight off the tree down there and don't wash them off. I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm from Arkansas. We do weird things. And so I've been eating some of these. And so I brought them here for you this morning. So on the way out, if you are brave, if you can take a risk, then you can't sue us if you get sick, okay? I've eaten a bunch of these, all right? So, if you all would want one of these to taste of the fruit of what was planted down there, I will tell you, Downtown Cleveland Alliance had to come by with a really big stick and put in the ground and brace up one of the cherry trees. You know why? It is so overloaded with fruit. And I thought, you know, here it is, right in the middle of the city, right in the middle of downtown. Here's the fruit. And I thought, you know, with everything that we're doing, you know, with that and planting those trees, planting the cherry trees and, you know, the fruit, I didn't think that, you know, they would ever really produce fruit. But now that they're here and people walk by and are like, wow, man, look how red those are, you know. And I'm like, well, they're really tart. I'll just warn you, they're not probably what you're used to. But at the same time, I thought, you know, that is a perfect illustration for what we're doing with Nexus. Because we took out that old stump and the dead stuff that was down there, and we put something in, and we watered it, fertilized it, all those things. Come back the next year, and they got blossoms, and now then it's producing fruit. And I thought, you know, that's about 1% of what Nexus could do, because this is just fruit for eating, you know. It's kind of a fun thing, not really a long-term thing. But when I look at Nexus, I was like, wow, the fruit of that could be enormous for the city, for people who are searching for meaning in their life and purpose in their life, for those who are searching for community and they're trying to figure out, how do I put all this stuff together? I will tell you, it was a powerful moment the first day that I ate one of those cherries, because I was like, this is it, man. This is what Jesus was talking about. Because if I was to cut one of those limbs off, guess what? It's not going to produce anymore. Jesus even said in another part of Scripture, he said, you know something, a good tree will produce good fruit. A bad tree will produce bad fruit. Just like my wild strawberries versus regular strawberries, there's a difference to me. Other people may like wild strawberries, but I got news for them. It's nothing compared to the real thing. And when I look at what that is doing on West 9th and all places of downtown, you know, I'm like, this is so funny. This is so what God would do. Because he takes what's dead and always brings life. And he takes what was thrown away that everybody else throws to the side and brings beauty. He brings transformation. That's who he is. That's what he does. And as you and I move forward, what we need to understand is this. If we want God to do something great through us, through Gateway for the kingdom of God, we've got to remain in him. We've got to remain in him through prayer and through reading his word. Because that's what he honors. And he says, hey, if you do this, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. I will tell you where I've placed Gateway as pastor of this church. There is no way that we can pull this thing off by ourselves. And I've purposely placed us there because here's what I know. The only way that Nexus will ever happen is if God intervenes. That's where we're at. Because I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about the amount of funds and what we would have to do and the changes involved and how we would have to go about day-to-day operations, and that's a huge task. And the only way that it's going to happen is if God intervenes. And here's what you will know. If it is God's will for us to be there, it's going to take work on our part, but God is going to bring the fruit. And God will be the one who grows it. See, all I did was take out the bad stuff and plant the cherry tree. I didn't show up every day coaching it, saying, come on, fruit, come on, blossom. You know, I didn't do that. I didn't talk to it saying, you're doing such a good job, and we appreciate you and love you. But guess what? It's doing what it's supposed to do. Naturally, and that is bear fruit. And as believers, when we do what God's called us to do, we always bear fruit. You don't have to attempt to do that. That is a byproduct of a relationship with God. So what I would challenge all of us to understand is this: the only way that it comes about is if God intervenes. But the reason why we serve is not to convert. The reason why we serve is because we have been converted. Will others follow along? You better believe it. Is it our responsibility to tell them the good news? You better believe it. Jesus said so. But we don't have an ulterior motive. We have an ultimate motive. There's a difference. And it's pretty drastic when you really think about it. No hidden things, no hidden agendas. This is who we are because we love God and we love the city. This is what we do. I can tell you some of the economic leaders for the city of Cleveland that I've already talked to has just been like, man, this would be great. If you guys could do this, this would be great. We would love to see this. Other leaders have told me, hey, there needs to be a place like this in downtown Cleveland because there's nothing else like this here. There's nothing else. How can we help? What can we do? They see the need as well. We've got to make sure that we remain in Christ. And if we do that, there's no telling what God will do, even past Nexus, okay? I will tell you there's a couple of things that you can pray about. Certainly, you know, with protecting that space, we don't have anything down on that space to protect it, okay? Somebody could come tomorrow, throw down the money, and okay, we got to find something else. And God may do that. He may send us elsewhere. I don't know. But we need to pray for that space, okay? Second thing is this. If you noticed in the video, it's kind of more of a fundraising slash vision video. There's a reason for that because we're using it for fundraising slash vision, okay? If you're like, hey, he sounds like he's talking to somebody not from Gateway, because I am, all right? It's one of the tools that we're going to use to help get the vision out there to help with the fundraising side of things, all right? But you can pray about that. You can pray for leaders around the United States because I'm going to go to them and ask them, make the big request. Hey, help us. But you also need to be praying about what God would do through you, okay? You need to be praying about what God would do through you. Serving in a capacity, we've got a task force, and some of you I'm already going to meet with this week and also next week. that maybe you can serve in some areas, and then God may bless you financially to be able to give to it, whether it's $5 or $1,000 or even more. The bottom line is this, it's going to take all of us. And here's what I'm going to be asked around the country as we begin to say to them, hey, could you help invest in this? Here's what they're going to ask me. What's Gateway doing? I already know that, and you know that too. You're a sharp group. You know that. And as we begin to move through this process, those are the things I need to be able to tell them in a clear conscience. Here's what we're doing. Here's what's happening. Here's the level of involvement. And that's what's happening. If you'll pray about those things, but most importantly, pray that we remain in Him. Because whether Nexus comes about or not does not dictate whether Gateway is a viable church or not. Okay? This is not like, oh, if that doesn't happen, we fold up. No, that's not what it is. Okay? But I do know that we've got to remain in Him regardless. I want everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes.